Good evening. It certainly is good to be here. Thank God for the wonderful opportunity to speak here. I appreciate this college. I appreciate this church. And certainly our church and our ministry stands behind what is going on here. And we thank God for it. I thank God for my wife. I want her to stand. I thank God for her. I certainly appreciate Bethany and her ministry with me. And certainly thank God for her support. Thank God for the wonderful son that he has given us. And I will beat him. If he said he is from Oklahoma, and I think that the Lord will understand that. But I certainly am glad to be here. I wish we could stay all week. Our missions conference starts tomorrow. We're going to have to leave in the morning. But my goodness, the preaching has just been phenomenal. I started to stand up tonight and say, amen, let's have invitation and just finish, because this morning, good gracious, the preaching was just outstanding. And last night, Brother Nance, thank you so much for just letting God use you last night. I thank you, Pastor Davidson, for the vision that God has given you here at the school and through the Southwest Baptist Church. And certainly appreciate the opportunity, the invitation to speak here tonight, and the wonderful chances I get throughout the year to be here at this church and there at the school. And I thank God for so many preachers here in this state. Certainly affiliated with this school, have been a blessing to me. Many dear friends in this building tonight. And I thank God for you. Thank God for the wonderful fellowship. And certainly thank God for what he's going to do in and through this place. I was sitting there thinking today, well, first of all, tonight I walked in tonight and I looked up on the platform. And I seem the only one that has a blue shirt on. A preacher told me tonight, Pastor Davidson asked me if I had a white shirt. So I think he's going to send me back to the hotel and get a white shirt. So I said, well, I've goofed there. And then I realized I'm the only black man up here, so I ought to be able to get a few, they'll ease up a little bit on me anyway. We've always had a different standard anyway, so my cadence is going to probably be a little bit different anyway, so I might as well get a little pizzazz in the dress to match it. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I was reading the theme, Young Men on the Old Paths, and I begin a little bit confused this morning as you said, Young Men on the Old Paths, Young Men, Young Men, Young Men. All three men were bald-headed that preached this morning. And we got preachers in here who preaching 50 years, got a full head of hair. Now, full hair, head of hair, something wrong with that. The irony of this meeting, young men on the old paths looking old. Amen. And then they got the nerve to preach on barbershops to try to cover it up, you know. I like old fashioned barbershops because they don't talk about me being bald headed, you know. Well, I thank God for my hair. Amen. You can be on the old path and have hair. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Good gracious alive. It's good to be here. And I appreciate the messages. And thank you so much for the opportunity. I trust that God will give us grace as we seek to preach what he's laid on my heart tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to draw your attention to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6, for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I'm feeling a little bit important right now. This man snapping a picture, and I certainly appreciate that. I really appreciate that. He's got a star on his jacket. I'm beginning to wonder if he's a sheriff or something. That chap snapped my mugshot for the most wanted poster or something.
I want to say to the students that are moving, y'all, we're getting ready to read the Word of God. Now, unless you really have to be moving, you need to stay right where you are because it's time for the reading and the preaching. So let's just find somewhere to land right quick. All right? Oh, they don't have their Bibles? Well, they can listen to the reading.
Jeremiah chapter 6. All right, I'm scared for you. Please land somewhere. Land! Been there, done that. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakkerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees, and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, that they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of fury of the Lord. I'm weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I said, watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, the people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear, they are cruel, they have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We've heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us in pain, as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler suddenly cometh among us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Father, I certainly thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. I thank you, Father God, for the privilege of handling the Word of God. Father, I thank you, God, for what we've heard already. I thank you for every song that's been sung, every instrument that has been played, every prayer that's been uttered, every offering been given. Even the message already we've heard from God. And now I thank you for the opportunity that you allow me to speak your word tonight. I pray you take me as your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray that you take the word of God, that you may serve it on the table of the hearts of these thy people, that they may eat and be filled and strengthened. And Father, when all is said and done, we promise to give you the praise and honor and glory. It's due your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here in our text, the prophet Jeremiah is warning God's people of the impending destruction from the north. The Babylonians are going to destroy. Verses 2 and 3, he says, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds, the armies that come with their flock shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. There is judgment coming. There is destruction coming, God's people. God's going to send it, and it's all because of your sin. It's all because of your violence. It's all because of your wickedness. It's all because of the fact you've dishonored God. You've rejected that which God has instructed you to do, and there's a price to pay for it. He's warning them, this will come. But it seems as if the people of God have become so cold. They've become so numb. They've become so indifferent to preaching and instruction from the Word of God and that which God would say, that it seems as if Jeremiah becomes frustrated here. To whom shall I speak, verse number 10, and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. It's as if Jeremiah is saying, what's the use of saying this? They're not listening anyway. The word of God's become a reproach. They have no desire to be represented with God's word. They have no desire to be associated with God. They have turned a deaf ear to the instruction of God, to the commandments of God. They're well aware of God's law and His intention, but they act as if it doesn't even exist. Jeremiah said, I'm full of fury. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I don't even see the use. Nevertheless, he recognized as a prophet of God, as a preacher of the Word of God, despite his frustration, despite his anger, in spite of the fact he had become feeling at the point that it was useless even for him to say anything, he recognized he had an obligation as a man of God to preach what thus saith the Lord. Might I remind you, it doesn't matter how wicked folk act. It doesn't matter how deaf they seem. It doesn't matter how stubborn they become. It doesn't matter how few of them go to the altar. As a man of God, I have a God-mandated obligation to preach the Word of God, whether they're listening or they're not. They turn from God, dishonored His Word. They become liars, hypocrites, and they have no shame about it. No shame. No shame. Nothing bothers them. Their wickedness doesn't faze them. There seems to be no conviction. Seems to be no shame about sin. They seem to be doing what they're doing and enjoying it. And in the middle of all this, we find in verse number 16, thus saith the Lord. Well, there's always something to notice when we see thus saith the Lord. I mean, in the midst of your wickedness, in the midst of your sorriness, and your stubbornness, and your softness, and your sinfulness, God says, I've got a word. I've got something to say. I've got an opinion on the matter. I've got a comment about what's going on. Hey, I want you to know, you can run your own show. You can do your own thing. You can act your own way. But God said, I'm taking note of everything you've done, every law you dishonored, everything about my words you've rejected. And I've got something to say about it. Stand ye in the ways and see. I mean, stand in the ways and take a look. Get your eyes open.
Go on a search. Make some research. Look at the land. Check out what's going on. And he said, for heaven's sake, a time like this calls for people of God to ask for the old past. We're in a mess, he said. We're in a mess. We need some insight from God and God's man on where the old paths are.
Good gracious. You've got to be about dead to not see what's going on around us today.
How many of you turn the television on? It seems that immorality and wickedness is applauded, and that which is right is ridiculed and criticized. It seems as if the things of God have become a laughing stock. I mean, somebody gets on an interview and says something, my God, they get it off of them real fast. I mean, they don't want anybody praising God and worshiping God and lifting up God. And you look around and you look at our young people and the wickedness that's going on with them, and you look at the immorality and you look at the sin, and then you begin to look at our churches.
We don't expect the world to be righteous, but good gracious, we expect the church to be holy.
Amen.
You see, the church is not ours. The church belongs to God.
Amen.
Upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it.
I'll tell you why you won't stop to think. It's mine, 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 and nobody's going to beat my church, Jesus said.
You look at the wickedness that the church tolerates today. You look at churches and men of God that used to stand for the things of God. And you look at churches and men of God that used to be consistent in their principles with God. You look at men that used to have convictions, churches that used to have stands and testimonies for the things of God. You look at men that used to preach the unadulterated word of God without apology. And now they're tiptoeing through the tulips and lollygagging through the lilies and patty caking through the petunias. They don't preach the word anymore. They don't stand for anything. Somebody said if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
We got wickedness going on all around us and don't got no shame in it.
I walk in churches today and you see junk going on and folks seem to be doing junk and enjoying it. Christian folk seem to be living in sin and enjoying it. They seem to be dishonoring God and enjoying it. Well aware of the commandments of God. Well aware of the intentions of God. Well aware of the expectation of God. But their ears have become uncircumcised. They have no delight in the word of God anymore. And I'll tell you what, God says, I got something to say about it.
I said, God said, I've got something to say about it. Stand in the way.
Lift up your eyes. You better get to looking. Because I'm going to tell you what, that junk that's being propagated out there, God said, I don't have nothing to do with it. That's not the way to go. That's not how I intended it. That doesn't line up with my book. That doesn't line up with the character of God. God said, we need some men and some women and some boys and girls to say, somebody show me where the old paths are. Somebody show me what's right. Show me what's good. Show me what's righteous. Show me what's biblical. Show me what's godly. Show me what's spiritual. Show me what God's all about. And when I find it, I'm going to walk right in it. Tell you what, 26-year-old boy, I want to know where the old paths are. I don't want that mess. T.D. Jake and Creflo, send me your dollar and Benny Hinn. I hear you and send your prayer call. I don't want none of that mess. I don't want some wish used to be fundamental independent Baptist that discovered something that was better to tell me how to live in the ministry and live for God. I want somebody that walked down the straight and narrow. Somebody that honored God. Somebody that dared be different. Somebody said, I'm going to stand on the principles of the Word of God. It was good when I started. It was good 10 years in. It was good 20 years in. It was good 30 years in. It'll be good when I was gone. When I'm gone, listen to me. This thing about serving God and the old past, you know why it's good? It was good before you came. It'll be good when you go. And it's good all in between.
Fellas, when you graduate out of school, ask for the old path.
Hallelujah. Ask for the old path. Don't go looking for nothing new. Hey, bless God.
Ask for the old past. Ask for the old past. Ask how it got done in the beginning. Ask how it's gotten done all along. Ask how revivals came of yesteryear. Ask how it got done in the Bible. Let me tell you something. It got done on the old path. It got done on the old path. I said it got done on the old path. Before you go tearing a fence down, you better find out why it got put up in the first place. I said it happened on the old path. On the old path. On the old path. Somebody show me the old path. And walk ye in it. Walk ye in it. I get a kick out of being young on the old path. I mean a young man on the old path. It ain't about who's on the path. It's about whose path it is. Somebody ain't hear me. I got a couple, two or three witnesses in here. It ain't about who's on the path. It's about whose path it's on. I mean, we heard that message this morning about Abraham and about Isaac and Jacob, and we heard about Enoch and Daniel and all of those men. Listen to me. They found out where God was, and they got involved in what God was doing. Where God's path? Show it to me. You better make sure you're on the right path before you start to walk in. Ain't nothing frustrating about going a long way and find out you're on the wrong road. And you know we men don't like to stop for nothing. My wife always says, honey, stop. Hush, honey, hush. I know where I'm going. I'm the one driving this car. Feed the baby. An hour later, well, I think I'm going to stop. Bless God, you better know where you're going before you get to going. I tell you, it'd be a shame to finish 50, 60 years of ministry and find out you finished it on the wrong path. I mean, you clicked on the wrong site. I mean, you got directions from the wrong map. I mean, you called into the wrong place. I mean, you got some information from the wrong gas station. Bless God. I want to find somebody been driving a little while. I mean, know how to go to the right place. I mean, he knows how to go through the rough terrain. And he doesn't stop when it rains hard. And when it floods. And when the lightning flashes. He just put the wipers on. Put the four-wheel drive on. And drive down. I said, drive down the old path. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All I feel a preaching storm coming on. Them brothers done pumped me up preaching up in here. Them brothers came to preach. Even the college students came to preach. You got 10 minutes, just cry loud. Lift up your voice as a trumpet. They ain't coming up here giving a little sermonette. A little devotional, fireside chat. They ain't coming up here to preach. Got me fired up. A brother told me I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. Super imminent. Pentecostal ain't got nothing on me. I'm shouting and I know what I'm shouting about. Not a Pentecostal, but I believe in shouting. In the name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy, all three of them, I believe in shouting. Hey man, I don't speak in tongue, but I'm going to shout with the one I got. I'm on the old path. They were shouting on the old path. You rest assured. You rest assured. You having a good time this meeting. Hey, God's having a good time too. God enjoys good music. God enjoys good preaching. You know why? It all come off the old path. The old, good singing on the old path. I mean, good singing on the old path. I like to hear this choir stand up. Sound like, broom. You know, when they sit down, broom. Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting ready. We're standing up together in one accord. We're not singing about some rap or pop or R&B or country or some 7-11 chorus or 7-word 11 times. We're singing about Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know that when we're in the valley, guess God, He's going to take care of us. When we're on the mountaintop, He's going to take care of us. When we're sick or when we're well, when we're rich or when we're broke, when we're on the old path, we're on God's path. So we stand up in attention and we lift up our voices and we smile and we wave our hands and we shout. Not because we're trying to make an impression of our TVN viewers. We're shouting because we got something to shout about. We're on the old path.
Did I say I feel a preaching storm coming on? Ask for the old path. Now, what's it going to take? Stay on the old path. Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, refuse to compromise the truth. Refuse to compromise the truth. You know what I mean? Non-negotiable. By the way, truth is absolute. It's not relative. It's not subject. You know, listen, by the way, there's never a danger in that which is absolute ever becoming irrelevant. Some of you missed that. I'm gonna run it back. We got a few blondes in the house. Amen. All right. I'm sorry. And thank God for the blondes. God has favor upon blondes. Ms. Davison, I'm sorry. Every rule has an exception. She's exception to the rule. There's never a danger in that which is absolute ever becoming irrelevant. Hey, don't refuse to compromise the truth. It ain't yours to change.
I said it ain't yours to change. Pilate said, what is truth? If I were Jesus, and thank God I'm not, but if I were Jesus, I would slap him and say, you looking at him, big dummy. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What do you mean is truth? I'm truth.
That's why truth is wrapped up in this book. Refuse to compromise the truth. That's how the devil gets us. We don't change altogether. We just lower our guard a little bit. Refuse to compromise the truth. Let me give you a couple things not to compromise. Don't compromise the manual we preach. Don't compromise the manual we preach. Hey, listen to me. It was good before you got here. It'd be good when you're gone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it. Somebody said the Bible got errors in it. Yeah, the one that man wrote. Not God's Bible. All scriptures give my inspiration of God and it's profitable. I mean, it's God breathed. It came from Almighty God. How in the world you take, how in the world you take over 1600 years of time, take 40 men and have them write a Bible that agrees in every aspect. Man can't come up with that. That comes from God. Don't compromise the manual we preach. Preach the book. Preach the book. Preach the King James Version. Amen. Preach the book. Preach the book. I don't care how dumb you think the crowd is. They got the Holy Ghost inside them. Super eminent. Bless God. They can understand stuff regular folk couldn't understand. Amen. Holy Ghost lives inside them. I'm saying, preach from the Bible. King James Version of the Bible. Don't you let that other version come in your church. Don't you lower your guard. Why? Stay on the old path. The manual we preach. The music we project. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Music ought to be Christ-honoring. It ought to have a melody and a harmony and a message. It ought to be geared to the heart. It ought to be in thanksgiving. It ought to be centered around Jesus. It ought to be completely different from the world. So don't compromise the music we project. By no means ought you have dead music. I think that's just about as wicked as worldly music. All right. I think music ought to be alive, amen. It ought to minister to the heart, but bless God, don't take the world's music, the world's beat, and the world's rhythm, and try to throw Jesus all over it and expect Him to bless it. I mean, God's music sounds different than the world, bless God. I don't believe in this Christian rock and roll. Ain't no such thing as Christian rock and roll except for one time. They put a rock in front of the grave and rolled away, amen. Other than that, ain't no Christian rock and roll.
Christian rap, Christian country, Christian R&B, Christian and all these things. Listen to me, it's Christian or it's not. There is no in between. It's God's or it's not. Let's not compromise when it comes to our music. Let's have Christ-honoring music. How difficult it is to stand up in a pulpit and have to preach after you. The music has put the people so far into the flesh, you got to spend time, 20, 30 minutes, just getting them out of the flesh just to preach to them. Bless God. Music ought to minister to the heart. And when somebody gets up to preach, their hearts ought to be so prepared and so fertile that upon receiving the seed of the Word of God, it germinates down into the soil and produces fruit that remains.
Don't compromise the music we project. Don't compromise the message we proclaim. It's Jesus. If you've gotten off of preaching Jesus, you've gotten off. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Nobody asks you to wax eloquent. Just preach Jesus. John said, He must increase and I must decrease. Preach Jesus. We preach Christ. Crucified, buried, and risen again. Make a beeline to the gospel. I mean, lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Because if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. Don't compromise the music we project, the manual we preach, the message we proclaim. By the way, don't compromise the modesty we portray. Still believe. I still believe. I know it's old pastor. I still believe women ought to wear clothes. Yeah, I reckon they ought to. Yeah. All of their clothes. Some of them have problem not wearing clothes. Some of them have problem wearing clothes. They just wear half of, you know, half a skirt, half a shirt. Bless God, let's have modesty in our churches. That doesn't mean we down people for what they wear and we make rules for people to walk into our church. But bless God, let's set an example and let's preach from the Word of God that modesty is still in the Bible. Listen to me. It's not something we made up. It's not something that we did so nobody looks at our wife the wrong way. It is something that is of God. In like manner, adorning themselves in modest apparel. The word means well arranged, well ordered. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to go far to find churches where women are not well arranged or well ordered. Not lower the standard. It's not lower the standard. I'm so glad we walk into Heartland Baptist Bible College. They don't have people up here, college students up here singing immodestly. Thank God. Thank God. When a young man sits out there and looks at a young lady, might be his potential wife, bless God, he ought to be able to look at someone that looks modest, looks like she loves God, looks like she's honored God, looks like she ain't trying to sell something. She already been purchased. Amen. She's been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. Which she ain't up here advertising her shape. She's up here advertising Jesus. Compromise the modesty we portray. Don't compromise the ministry we perform. Our ministry is threefold: to win souls, baptize the saints, and teach them to serve. Bless God, your ministry in the half of baseball ministry, skateboard ministry, and all these kind of ministry. Your ministry is to win souls, baptize saints, teach them to serve. Knock on doors, give the gospel, get folks saved, get them baptized and disciple them, and get them incorporated into the great missions task force of evangelizing the world. That is the ministry of every church. I don't care if you're in a thriving metropolis, or if you're out there in the middle of Timbuktu, your ministry is still the same. Win souls, baptize saints, teach them to serve. And when you're busy in everything else but that, you've compromised. Don't compromise the mission we propagate. That is to take the ministry of winning souls, baptizing the saints, teaching them to serve to every person in every place. It is, we are to do what we're doing in our local areas all around the world. That means we ought to be supporting missionaries. Yeah. Don't get your church so stale that you don't ever have a missionary in. Have somebody in to enlarge their vision. To challenge them about going themselves. Bless. Why? There's a great task of reaching a lost and dying world. Over 6 billion people in the world that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what. Promise Keepers United Way and all these things are not going to do it. It will be accomplished by God's authenticated agent. And that, my friend, is the local New Testament independent Baptist sin-hating, Savior-loving, Satan-kicking church. Amen. And when the Mormons and the Jehovah's false witnesses do more door knocking than we do, we've compromised. Don't compromise the methods we practice. Old-fashioned methods still work. I know we're in the day of technology and the internet and all those things, but listen to me. Old-fashioned ways still work. That's right. That's right. You ain't going to get folks saved by flashing the Roman road on the billboard. Amen. You're going to get out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come. You're going to knock on doors and give them Jesus just like somebody gave you. By the way, it still works. Refuse to compromise the truth. Number two, reject corruption and its temptation. Reject it, reject it. Notice what he says in chapter 6. He says, as a fountain, verse number 7, casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Verse number 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given unto covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Reject corruption and its temptation. You know what? It's high time we view sin the way God views sin. Is to be rejected. That means we ought to call it what it is. Call it what it is. World calls them alcoholic. Bible calls them a drunkard. World calls it an alternative lifestyle. God calls it an abomination. Let's call it what it is. We've adopted worldly language and worldly tolerance, and we become desensitized because of all that we see in the world to what sin is. Listen to me, sin doesn't get any more pacified with God as the days go by. Just because we get used to it, because we see it, doesn't mean God ever gets used to it. He hates sin just as much today as he hated it when he first put Adam and Eve in the garden. And even though America is moving more and more towards sin and a prevailing lifestyle of sin, it does not change the character and the heart of God. He is still a holy God, and holiness must be shouted through the highways and byways that God is holy, and he commands, be ye holy as I am holy. Call sin what it is. Confess it when involved. Get it right. Correct it when it's an issue. Oh my soul, let's be churches that pounce on sin. Listen, there are a whole lot of things you can tolerate in life, but sin ain't one of them. Sin will destroy you. And I'll tell you what, you may think, oh, everything's wrong about your church, and it's the city, and it's the climate, and it's the culture, and it's the financial status of the city, and all the jobs, and all these things, and the military population. Listen to me. Why don't you just go back home and deal with sin? I tell you, when Church of Corinth dealt with it, God was able to use them. Reject corruption and its temptation. Recognize the consistency of God's track record. Thus saith the Lord, verse number 16, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Recognize the consistency of God's track record. Recognize the old paths are proven. They're tried. They're tested. They're true. And they're trustworthy. They've worked before, and they'll work now. So glad we don't have to reinvent something. So glad we don't have to go searching as to what to do. Just do what's already been done. Yes, God, I'm so glad that I got saved in a home of a mom and dad that believe on the old paths. I'm so glad that nearly 25 years ago my dad started a church, and bless God, we started a church on the old path. And he had preachers come in and preach that we're on the old path. And he preached principles and convictions from the old path. And we have music from the old path. I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad that he didn't teach me that, son, in your generation, you're going to have a little bit of difference. You have to lower your standard. You're going to have to bring all this contemporary stuff in. And you're going to have to dress a little bit well. I'm so glad he didn't teach me how to come up here in my little tank top and flip-flops and just love everybody. I'm so glad he taught me a preacher ought to look like a preacher. A man ought to look like a man. They ought to sound like a preacher. And when they go in the church, they'll not walk in the country club. They'll not walk in the billiards place. They'll not walk in the Salvation Army of the United Way. They ought to walk into a place that's on fire for God, and they look different in the world, and they act like Jesus, and you can tell. So glad for that. I tell you why I'm a young man on the old path. Because bless God, at a young age, I got exposed to men of God that believe in the old path. I'm so glad for that. I can't tell you. There's no kind of person in the world that I admire more than men of God. And my daddy would tell you, as a man growing up, when a preacher came in town, I wanted to get close to the preacher.
Dad, can I go out with you all? Can I ride on the back of the golf cart?
God's in it. Amen.
Can I go to the prayer breakfast? Can I go? Why? Because I just want to rub shoulders with the man of God. That meant more to me than slapping hands with a basketball player. Did you hear me? I said that meant more to me than slapping hands with a basketball player. I just like to rub shoulders with a good old-fashioned man of God. One who walks with God. He ain't trying to be nothing that he ain't. Amen. Hey man, he's just trying to live for God, trying to dare to be different. He got a good old-fashioned Bible. He steps up in the pulpit and he puts his finger out and he sweats and spits and hollers and says, "Thus saith the Lord," and he just preaches and preaches and preaches. That's what I want to be when I grow up. That's what I say. Thank God for it. I saw Dr. Larry Clayton in here. Is he here? Dr. Clayton, are you in here? Stand up for a moment. There's Dr. Clayton. I grew up under the preaching of Dr. Larry Clay. Amen. He came and preached revival for us every year. And I used to, Dr. Clayton used to stay in our home, and we'd get up early in the morning, and Dr. Clayton and I'd walk down the neighborhood and throw rocks down the water. I know people would drive past and say, "What in the world are they doing? Who is that?" And we'd go in restaurants and say, "This is my granddaddy. You should see people fake." I know what they were. They were thinking, poor old child. Hey, mom and daddy left him. The old white man done adopted the little boy. No, I really do got a mom and a daddy. Amen. We'd go snack truck ride by, and we'd get snacks together as a little boy. And Dr. Clayton used to say to me as a kid, he said, never get away from preaching and soul winning. Amen. Preaching and soul winning. He'd take that jaw and he'd put it up on his mouth like this. And he'd say, "That's all there is to ministry." I said, "I know these preachers are into doing all these other things and finances and selling and stuff. It's just preaching and soul winning." And I said, "Yes, sir." And I sat as a little boy on the front row. I was one of those. I was a baby. I was a drug baby. I got drugged to church every Sunday morning. I sit up on the front row next to Mama. And, you know, we couldn't go to sleep in church. We just couldn't do it, you know. We couldn't go to sleep. We couldn't go to the bathroom. We couldn't go nothing. You try to go to the altar. Boy, you don't even know what you're going for. Sit down. Couldn't even go to the altar. Amen. Mama said, "You ain't doing nothing spiritual till you're spiritual." All right. And I'd fall asleep every once in a while. My mom grabbed my ear and twisted it. And she's so prissy about it, she could do it and look like she was all into the message and say, "Amen, amen, amen. Praise God." Praise God. Whew. I fall asleep every once when she twists that. I ain't know my ear could turn around him anytime. "Sit up, son. Preaching's going on. Mom and Daddy tell me you go to the bathroom before church starts." Got a nephew of my Michael's son. He can't sit still during church. Every time he getting up, going to the bathroom, Sunday night ago, he got up. "Cameron," his daddy wasn't, I don't think his daddy was in there. "So where you going?" "To the bathroom." I said, "Son." See, I'm his uncle now. See, all them beatings I got to find somebody to pay back. Before I brush my teeth and take a shower in the morning, I beat my son. Bethany said, "What are you doing?" "Beating him, that's what I'm doing." "What are you beating him for?" "Because somebody beat me too many times." "Dad, that pap, shut up, boy." "You're going to get it back." My mama used to beat me for stuff she didn't know I did. "Lay down, boy, for what?" "Something you know what it is."
I used to get beat for what other kids did. We'd go to the restaurant, go to the restaurant or grocery store, little kid be in the checkout line trying to get a candy bar. Mommy, and then the little kid said, Mommy, can I have a candy bar? And then the mama says, No, Johnny, put it down. Come on, Mommy, can I have a candy bar? No, Johnny. Mommy, I want a candy bar. Put it down, Johnny. And Mommy said, All right, I'm going to count to 10, Johnny. You don't bring me that candy bar, you're going to be in a little trouble. When they always start saying all through your name, Johnny, Seth, Rodriguez, you better not do that. Shamika, Rakika, got to keep the thing relevant up in here, all right? I see a few spots in the crowd, all right? We wouldn't want you to come to a Baptist meeting and feel left out, all right? I'm going to count to 10, and she start counting. 1, 2, 3, and little bad Johnny start, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, About that time, my mama grabbed me. Come here, boy. Now I'm standing there just being good. I ain't even dumb enough to ask for a candy bar. We didn't eat candy bars. We ate candy bars when it was in the fruit basket and we were traveling, you know. She grabbed me because Johnny misbehaving. Boy, if you ever embarrass me in a grocery store like that, I will beat the devil out of you. That's the problem with y'all kids today. You think you're grown. You're always talking back, always doing the thing. Put roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table. Talking about no parents allowed. I wish you would put a no parents allowed sign on them. Got some little notes right to a little girl and tell me I can't read because they don't. You don't got no private business. Try to be a Johnny. I'll knock your teeth out there. Mom, I'm not doing anything. Yeah, but I know that. You be doing it. We'd go to church, and I'd listen to preachers like Dr. Clayton, and we'd have to sit up and listen. And they'd stand forward, and they'd preach forth this thunderous word. And they'd preach from that good old-fashioned King James Version of the Bible. And I was dumb enough as a little boy to believe this thing works. And I fell in love with it as a 4-year-old boy when I got saved. And 5 years later, they made it so enticing. They made it look so appeasing. And as a 9-year-old boy, I said, Yes, Lord, I'll preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I was 9, but a necessity was laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And it seems like it's gone by so fast. But now 17 years, I've been preaching from 9 to 26. And I'm telling you what, 17 years later, I ain't found nothing better. I ain't found nothing that need to be changed. I ain't found nothing that needs to be fixed. It still works. Amen. Remember, God's track record is consistent. All the great revivals came down the old path. Now, a lot of churches are having revival meetings, but very few of them have revival. 5 nights of a meeting don't mean revival. Revival comes when the fire of the Lord comes down. God said, I agree with what's going on. I show up in this place because there's some people that are real. God ain't going to show up with a bunch of unseparated, carnal-looking, worldly folk talking about they love Jesus. God ain't going to show up with a man that's interested in making a salary and not preaching the Word of God. But you get an old-fashioned, maybe uneducated, unlearned, ignorant man, but he's been with Jesus and he stands at that pulpit and says, Not thus saith me, but thus saith the Lord. And some folks sing. They may not be the greatest, but they sing from their heart. And they minister in music. I'll tell you what, God will show up. Every time. Thank you, Dr. Clayton, and men like that, for staying on the old path. Hey, that text after Brother Nance preached last night says, when you get through to Jordan, take out some stones and set them on the outside. So when the generation come and the children ask, what mean you by these stones? They'll live as a testimony and say, God did it. God, I thank God for men like this that have set some stones down. They want everybody to know it wasn't us. It was Him. Amen. Remain committed to the task. Remain committed to the task. He says, stand in the ways. Ask, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where's the good way? And walk therein.
walk therein. Walk therein. Listen to me. We've got to walk down the old path. So that means that that implies it's an everyday, step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Just walk down the path. Nobody told you to sprint and be like somebody else. Just walk. Walk when you got five. Walk when you got 500. Walk when you got 1,500. Walk down the old path. Walk when you got a choir and walk when you don't. Walk when it's just you and your family and walk when you got a bunch of other families. Walk when folk leave the church and walk when folks are coming here. Walk when they like it and walk when they don't. Walk when it's popular and not when it's popular. Walk when you got friends and walk when you stand alone. Walk when the offerings are coming in and walk when you're wondering if you can rub two nickels together. Just walk down the right path. In spite of the circumstances, the criticism, in spite of the cost. Stay on the path. You know why? There are people before us that paid a great price. Paid a great price. You know, as a preacher's son, a lot of preacher boys, they see how difficult the ministry has been on their dad, and they develop an apprehensiveness to the ministry. And so I don't ever want to be treated the way daddy was treated. You know, the way mom and dad were treated in the ministry. It costs, doesn't it? Hey, but guess what? The rewards are far greater. I'm saying the rewards are far greater. Next year we'll celebrate 25 years at Crossroads Baptist Church. Dad started the church 25 years ago. And next year he'll celebrate 30 years of being saved and his 60th birthday. So it's a big year next year. And we're excited about it. To God be the glory. God save a 30-year-old man, 30-year-old. I was about to say 30-year-old black man, but you're probably smart enough to figure that out. But and I don't say that to emphasize the fact that he's black, but I say that to emphasize the neglect of evangelism among 40 million black people in America. I also say that to indicate how few black men, solid black preachers there are today on the old path. Can I just share my heart with you a little bit? You know, one of the motivating factors that I want to stay on the right path? Because there are little black boys and white black girls all over America that don't have a black face on the old path with whom to identify. Listen, I know I'm in good company now. Jesse Jackson ain't on the old path. Louis Farrakhan ain't on the old path. And Greasehead? Got all that lard up in his head. Al Sharpton. That brother got more juice in his head than the communion tray. Good gracious enough. Not on the old path. Not on the old path. Listen, there's nothing wrong with Moody and Spurgeon and Rice and all these men, but you know what? It's high time these black kids that you bring in on your bus route have a black face on the old path with whom to identify. I'm serious. That means something to me. It means something to me. That's why we started COBA, not to resegregate fundamentalism. Somebody said, oh, well, I would go to COBA, but we don't need another black movement. Well, you won't find that when you come to COBA. You find a group of people that believe God made us black, maybe just so we could reach other people that are black. Whoopee! We hear everywhere we go, y'all can't reach them. Everywhere I go, we trying to reach them, we trying to reach them, we trying to reach them. And let me help you with a little bit of something. I'm going to help save you a few black friends, all right? I'm going to help you. I can say this. I just love this. It's good to be, you know, it's good to be black. God
is raising up men that just so happen to be black that believe the same Bible. Stand on the same truths. And they just so happen to be black. Black is not an issue. We don't get up in our churches and preach on the fact every Sunday. Hello, pray the Lord. We black. Yeah, all right. They figure that out when they walk in. Now, I know some of you just realizing tonight that I'm black, but there are a few folks in here that got that furthered their education, got a few little letters before their name. They figured it out when I first walked up there. Honey, a couple of men tonight, honey, I recognize a black boy up there, amen. But we just believe maybe God made us how he made us and just so happened to use men on the old path to reach us so we could walk down the same old path and reach some of our folks. That's right. Nobody wants you to be black. God made you who he made you, amen. Be who you are. And bless God, you don't have to tell me about every black person you ever met every time I come around. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just be yourself. And let God use you. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so proud of my daddy. I'm so proud of him. That God took a 30-year-old wealthy businessman and saved him as one of the few black men in a predominantly white church of about 800 to 1,000 people in Fairfax, Virginia. And he went to church with my mom on an Easter Sunday for the first time. He'd been in the church in 10 years, skipped golf that Sunday morning and went to church. And a couple weeks later, they showed up at his door on a Thursday night. I'm so glad the churches believed in soul-winning visitation. And they showed up at his doorstep on a Thursday night. He opened the door. He said, "You must be here to see my wife." They said, "No, sir, we're here to see you." And a man walked into his house with another man, and a deacon in that church who had never led anybody to the Lord before led a 30-year-old black man to the Lord by the same simple truths of the old path, and he got saved. And a couple years later in that same church, God called him to preach, and he believed God would burden him. And I'm so glad that he started the Crossroads Baptist Church, and there have been some 19 churches out of our church that have been started around this country. And guess what kind of churches they are? Old path churches.
They're not black churches.
They're New Testament churches that happen to have some black folk in it. And there is a difference. That's why I can't go in a hotel room and cut a fool and look at the wrong television screen. I can't run around and try to say we got to reach them with this rap music and this pop music and change my standard. Bless God. I've got to stand on the truth. Why? Because there are little boys and girls that are looking at Kenny and they're saying, "There's a 26-year-old boy that's black and he stands for God, and I can't do my own thing, run my own way, say my own words." Bless God. I got to stay on the old path.
By God's grace, I intend to. Lastly, realize the consequences of any other path we take.
So, we will not walk therein. We will not hearken. God says, retribution is to be made. You're going to pay for ignoring me, God. Hey, listen, you can change all the standards in your church and thank you success for running all them numbers, but you'll pay for it. You'll pay for infiltrating your church with the wrong version of the Bible. You'll pay for it. You'll pay for robbing your people and insulting them by not preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. You will pay for it. You'll pay for it. You'll pay for not teaching your people that modesty matters. You'll pay. You'll pay as a church for not being committed to your God-given responsibility of evangelizing the world. You will pay for it. Retribution and rejection. The last verse of this chapter says, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." What a sad statement. We've been rejected. Rejected. And he's sad. You know what? You look around There are a lot of churches, it really appears, God's rejected them. There is nothing spiritual going on in some churches at all. They might as well call themselves Ichabod. Might as well shut the doors down and sell cars. Half the time, the preacher is doing more selling anyway. Preacher. How many preachers I run and try and talk me into joining something and selling it. See, God didn't call me to sell. God called me to preach. Nothing wrong with taking vitamins, all those things, but bless God. Can you imagine every church I go to before I start my message? Well, I got a few boxes of vitamins. I sure wish you'd buy them. God didn't call me to sell vitamins. He called me to give the gospel. And yet there are preachers, churches everywhere buying into this worldly philosophy. God said, I got something to say about it. Stand ye in the way and ask for the old path. God, what's the right way? Ask somebody. Thank God we still got some preachers out there that if you ask, they'll give you the right answer. Whole bunch of them in here. I wish I could just stand and just thank preachers all over. It means something to me to see men of example. It means something. Oh, it means something to me. It means I'm honored to stand here. I'm honored. I could come to this meeting and not say a word and feel honored to be around godly men. I mean, there's a sensation about that. Sensation. Spent some time with Brother Bill Mitchell today. Just around him being himself. That means something to me. I'd rather spend 3 hours with him than with Tiger. I sure would. I wouldn't mind about 30, 45 minutes with Tiger. It wouldn't take him long to correct a few things. But it means something to me to be around men that love God. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else than preaching the Word of God. And I'm glad I'm a young man on the old path. And I don't see anything in the future worth changing it. A 9-year-old boy, God called me to preach. And I said, Daddy, where the old path? I should dress, Daddy. How can I soul win? Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to preach. Teach me how to tithe. Teach me how to do right. And he showed me. And I've been walking in them ever since. Well, there come times when you get tired and you get discouraged. Probably some men in here tonight tired. You're not thinking about getting off the old path. You're just thinking about maybe taking a break. Hey, stick with it. Somebody come behind you need to see a stone outside the river that proved that God parted that thing. And you're the only one that can leave the stone because you walk through it. Stay on the old path. If you don't know where it is, ask. And when you're shown it, walk in it. Let's bow our heads tonight. Lord, I pray you bless this invitation time. You move like only you can move. In our midst, we need you. Please, Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name.